Oh, this is something that has happened so often in my head and in my home. I have found myself saying, why have I had to tell you this over and over again? Or why won't you listen? And sometimes that's because they're four and they just can't listen. And other times it's because they're 14 and they have their own ideas. It's time for a reset. I'm John Fuller, along with Dr. Danny Huerta, who heads our parenting team. And we're going to revisit now a discussion that Focus President Jim Daly and I had with Dr. Randy Schrader, who addressed how to rein in something that he calls discipline mode.
When it comes to discipline, that big question of discipline, applying rules and setting boundaries, kind of what standard discipline is. Parents tend to go into lecture mode. You touched on that last time. It made me very uncomfortable, Randy. I don't know why we just do it. We just go into that lecture mode and the kids hear wah, 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 wah. So A, I guess, why do we as parents do it? We think it's effective when the kids are tuning out. What's a more effective way to get the point across?
Well, and parents do it because they love their sons and daughters dearly. And they want the best for their kids. And they truly believe all I need to do is give the very best lecture or discuss things to the nth degree. And then my child is going to absorb all that information and they are just going to become capable, confident Christian individuals.
And they'll absorb it with a smile on their face.
Well, they can.
Because it's a great lecture.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But what often happens, what happened for the three of us when we received a lecture is after the first 5 seconds, I always suggest kids turn the volume off.
Yeah.
Parents need to be brief and be silent. Use the skills we talked about another parenting interview of will you please, either or you decide, when you then you know, grandma's law. But they just need to cut down on the words. Too much talking will cause parent deafness and actually not benefit their children.
When you have a mom and dad in front of you in your counseling sessions and they have, this is their core problem, do you give them a way to have a trigger so that they can catch themselves? I mean, how do you move from the lecture mode, which comes so naturally to us, to hearing it and go, whoa, whoa, I got to back up and ask the right question?
Yes, sir. And we talked about that yesterday. It's all about often asking how and what questions, but it's also thinking if they're going, when a parent is going to suggest advice, if they want to give advice, keep it in a paragraph. I kind of jokingly say, since I'm a pastor, don't be a pastor and speak in pages.
No pages, paragraph.
One paragraph, you know, and then ask a child a how and what question so that they can internalize that information. But yeah, parents need to be brief, be silent, and not go on and on.
That's so good. That's actually a good rule for all of life, but that's another issue.
It is.
Let me speak to the try not to say no more than you say yes. I love this quality. A good friend of mine encouraged me when my kids were really young to try to say yes more than no. I think it was a really good attribute of my parenting style. But speak to that idea. Why is it damaging to have no as the dominant response?
Usually, if no is the dominant response, it goes back to a parent having that extreme style of being controlling. They think these rules are rigid. They're not flexible. And parents need to have flexible rules. And it's, you know, we think of a mother bird kind of opening their wings and letting the little chick fly away. That's what parents are trying to do. So whenever possible, parents need to say yes to their children's request and identify, is this a minor request or a major request? Because the goal of parenting is to help a child manage their own life from 18 to 100 as a godly adult. That's our goal as parents. And so parents, if a child has a curfew of 11:30 and they've been very responsible getting home on time and they have something going on and they say, hey, mom and dad, can I stay out till midnight tonight? If they have a scheduled activity for the reason they want to stay out to midnight, mom and dad can say yes. Mm. Now, on the other hand, when mom and dad do need to say no when their child makes a request, what so often doesn't happen is parents do not say it nicely. You know, I told you no. They need to say no in a friendly way that comes across to their child that I really have your best interest at heart. I wish I could say yes,
right. But
I just need to say no because I have your best interest at heart. And right now, I just don't think that's a healthy activity for you to do.
Let me, the follow-up there, so often parents can make everything a mountain, not a molehill.
Mm-hmm.
So everything's a mountain. And what you're saying is really critical. What are the core principles? It can't be everything is a core principle. And how, if you have the habit of making every molehill into a mountain and something I've got to respond to forcefully, A, how do you reassess your criteria and then apply it?
Well, and rules are there like lines on a road to guide a child. And so parents need to think that they're guiding. They don't have concrete barriers on the road as we drive down the road. And parents, if they can be just a little flexible and ask, is this going to provide growth for my child toward adulthood? Because by the time a child's a senior in high school, they may need to be making all their own decisions under parental guidance. Because after high school, a youngster could get an apartment, could get a job, could go to college. And who's going to be making the decisions? It's going to be them. And yeah. So parents need to think, Jim, how can we guide in that direction? And saying yes to a child's request whenever possible can make that a big difference.
All right, Danny, we have type A parents who are listening saying, my kids should follow the rules and I can't let go of it. And I get stressed out because they're not following the rules. So what's a first step toward letting go of all that?
Well, that's funny, John. I mean, I can just picture that. Just really, I mean, our kids are going to disobey. I mean, look at the garden, God with Adam and Eve and humanity, right? We all disobey and we find ourselves not following the rules. Including you and I, John. Uh-huh. We don't follow the rules all the time. But here, I want to tell you a story. So we were skiing. We went to Arapahoe Basin here in Colorado.
Okay.
And it was the first time all the way to the top of the mountain for my daughter. She had just gone through lessons, and it wasn't the smartest.
She went to the top. I've been to that mountain. Yeah, it's a nice mountain.
So I've never experienced snow blindness until this moment. So I took my daughter, my son. They were young, first-time skiers kind of thing, and took them to the top of the bowl and went straight to the top, right? We get off the high.
This was like a green run, an easy run, though, theoretically.
It was greenish, bluish, probably.
Okay, probably blue.
Maybe
black.
Yeah, most likely blue. So I didn't tell my wife where we were going or any of that stuff. We just went. And I said, guys, I've never experienced snow blindness. I can't see where I'm going. I know there are outcroppings of rocks close by, kind of a cliff nearby. Oh. So we need to make sure you guys need to follow me, okay? Just be right behind
me. Even though I can't see.
We need to do pizza all the way down, right? Put our skis and go slow. So I said, all right. And we started to do zigzag.
Yeah.
And my daughter just decided, I'm just going to go straight down. And she just, no poles or anything, just poof. I turn around to look where my kids are at, and she's going straight down, pointed down, going down this bowl.
Oh, my goodness.
No clue what she's doing. I'm going, I think I just lost a daughter. Oh. I think this is it. She didn't follow the rules, right, John?
Well, some safety rules that bear listening to.
And so I was going, I told my son, I think this might be it. We may be going home pretty soon. And so the first run, right? She hit the bottom and just kind of splattered down, right? She just flattened out, which was, I was so thankful. Somehow the terrain just flattened out.
Oh.
She flattened out and just laid there.
Wow.
And then she was not moving.
And you're thinking,
so I'm going, well, she's either just laying there in shock. I don't know what happened. Maybe she's shocked in the moment, or we went down. It took us a while because of the snow blindness, right? She went much faster.
Yes.
We get there and she was laughing. She said, that was so much fun. Let's do it again, Dad.
Oh, my goodness.
I said, all right. If we continue to do this, you've got to follow the rules, because there's a lot of safety things here that we're up for grabs. So the fact is that our kids have their own ideas, have their own interests, have their own impulses that come up. And in those moments, it gives you a rich opportunity to teach, to grow, to show love. There's some richness to that. Powerful lessons come in difficult packages sometimes. And we have to remember that.
Powerful lessons come in difficult packages.
Yes.
That's a good quote. I like that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, John.
Write that one down.
But I'm just thinking about that.
Yeah.
Our moments in our family with my son and my daughter, we've had some difficult packages come, but powerful, powerful moments because of those. And so our kids are going to be imperfect. And in that, we find grace, we find love, we find some good, deep things.
Well, we stand at the ready to help you. We're on this journey with you, if you'll invite us here at Focus on the Family. And we've got tools like our free parenting assessment to help you understand. Are you grabbing a little too hard onto those rules? Are you demonstrating grace in the lives of your kids? Are you helping them become resilient through difficult moments? So take that free parenting assessment. It's been updated, and it's going to give you an honest look at how you're doing, and it's really just a few minutes investment. The link is in the show notes for that free parenting assessment. And to do a little deeper dive with Randy Schrader and his great insights, get a copy of his book, Simple Habits for Effective Parenting. Now, we've got it here at the ministry and invite you to support us. Be a donor to the Ministry of Focus on the Family. Make a monthly pledge or a one-time gift of any amount and request that book. We'll send it to you as our way of saying thanks for being a part of the support team and making it possible for us to do podcasts like this and so much more. You'll find all the details about being generous to Focus on the Family and getting a copy of that book in the show notes. More from Dr. Randy Schrader next time. For now, I'm John Fuller, and on behalf of Danny Huerta and the entire team, thanks for listening to the Focus on the Family Parenting Podcast.
It can be challenging to inspire your community to see life the way God sees it. So what's the solution? Well, on June 15th, Focus on the Family is hosting Sea Life 24. And no matter where you are or who you are, you can be a part of this free event with speakers like Ben and Kirsten Watson and real stories about choosing life. Sea Life 24 will inspire you to translate your faith into action. Register today at sealife24.org.